けにいるとかよりも、
ギリギリとかなんですよ。Fences around the dog, the dog collar was in the porch.
All right. I don't whistle very well. Thanks for coming today. Appointed hour has arrived, and our numbers are fewer than last time. I hope that's a good sign. So welcome again today, and the purpose of this particular status conference is to work on scheduling, and so I've sort of looked at possible outcomes and processes, but I want to work through these individually with people who are here. I also want to say to this crowd, where are all the suits? I'd have shed mine. Yeah, thank you, Scott. There's some others in disguise here. Yeah. All right. Well, welcome again. I want to tell you that at the outset, and I probably should for the record say I'm Gary Spackman, Director of the Department of Water Resources, and with me is Emmy Blades from the Attorney General's office today. So I want to tell you from the outset before we start in today that I want to sincerely apologize to Mr. James for defective service of the scheduling order and some of the other orders that have been issued and documents. And I found out about it on late, what was it? Was it Friday afternoon? And
it was recently.
Anyway, we looked at it and he had not been served. And of course, the question I have is, how does this happen? And those of you who've practiced law, sometimes you ask yourself, how does this happen? So you try to get to the bottom of it. But so there was a conversation with our office of Mr. James, and some difficulty on his part was resolved, and he's graciously rescheduled to be here today. So again, I just want to publicly acknowledge his willingness to try to reschedule work through our error, and I accept responsibility for it. I think what we struggled with, honestly, was the large number of people who had said they wanted to participate somehow, and I even asked the question, how does the original service list get amended so some people get thrown off of it, and critical representatives, anyway. I don't want to go through a long explanation, but I accept responsibility for it. I also want to say that it seems like these days that in water matters, the conspiracy theories that are going around are about as common as when you have an Apache helicopter fly over remoter parts of Idaho. And so I suppose there could be those that might say that this is part of a larger conspiracy, Mr. James, but I will tell you that I'm just not that smart. So, and honestly, I hope I could inspire to do something that was less obvious than this particular mistake. So anyway, thanks again for coming today. So just a preliminary matter or two. If you haven't signed in, will you make sure you do? And the other piece of information that's at the sign-in table, we have a list of what we think is a complete service list.
As of yesterday.
And Emmy will assure me that it's complete.
I'll say that if there are any errors, y'all should look at it and point them out.
Well, and that's what we'd like to encourage you to do, is look at the service list and make sure your name is on the service list and any pertinent information. Now, one of the other things I want to tell you is that in the exchange of documents, I'm probably a little old school, but I want to see those come in by hard copy. But if you want to be served electronically with documents that are being issued, please write your email address on that service list so that we have it, because we're happy to send out, and we will send out to those participants for whom we have an email address. We'll send that information to you electronically, or at least attempt to do it. But the The formal service will be by mail and by hard copies. But I know it's helpful to people who want to get it quickly to receive an email, so we'll do that. Okay, we talked about, maybe I'll just lead off, we talked about some possible hearing dates, and maybe everybody's had a chance to think about the time for preparation. And I've gone back and looked at calendars and thought through it a little bit, but who was it? I guess it was Mike Kramer who asked me last time if I was fishing for some sort of comment, and I think I told him I was casting, Mike. And
not so, trolling, but casting.
Not trolling. And so, anyway, and not back casting either. But anyway, if people here have some ideas about how to schedule, I want to get your input before I guess, lay down some kind of edict about where we go with it. So, Scott?
Thank you. Has this been recorded? Do I need to step up?
Yeah, maybe, or I'll give you the microphone. I'll travel with it.
I'll come up.
I told him to come to the floor. He wanted to sit back there.
I want to have record so that we have a record of it.
Yeah, he was seated up here to start with. I don't know why.
No, actually, I was not. I was seated in the back because I have to leave at 2:30. I apologize. Mr. Director, I'm Scott Campbell, representing Sun Valley Company. I think as a fundamental matter, and I apologize to all of the parties or attorneys that have had the benefit of proceeding in other water delivery calls. This is my first one that relates to conjunctive management rules. So I guess I look at it a little bit differently than some people. And because of that, I have some fundamental concerns about the procedure that has been followed so far in this proceeding and procedure that may be followed in the future unless we get clarification from the director about how this process is going to unfold. And it needs to be in a formal fashion that the clarification occurs, because in going through the rules of procedure of the department, I've identified Rule 157, Rule 200, Rule 201, Rule 210, Rule 230, Rule 301, Rule 417, Rule 510, Rule 526, Rule 556, Rule 602, Rule 650, and Rule 712 that all are implicated in some fashion or another. And frankly, I think it's going to be beneficial to all the parties that we get a clarification from the department as to how this proceeding is going to unfold as it relates to the application of the rules of procedure and the rules of conjunctive management. There's already been discussions among various parties about, well, is this under Rule 40? Is this under Rule 30? Is this under Rule 42? And while I appreciate the director's attempt to articulate specific rules, for example, in the letter that you sent on May 20th, you referenced Rule 42. However, the concern I have is that some other rules are implicated. So I think it's a fundamental issue before very much more is done that we be allowed to present an appropriate motion. And I think we'll be able to proceed with all due haste within 14 days to file the motion and respond to Mr. James' motion that seeks protective protection against our discovery requests. And then only after that motion, and if any other party wants to join in, is resolved by the director, should there be consideration for scheduling a hearing, or as we believe is mandated under the department's rules, multiple hearings. And we say that because under the standards the department has adopted in its rules and under the Supreme Court decisions, as we interpret them, each individual water right has to be evaluated in terms of whether or not there is material injury and whether or not that water right owner is exercising the right in a non-wasteful manner and using reasonable efficiency. And we believe under the rules, if the department wants to proceed with one amalgam proceeding, at the very least, and I'm not foreclosing our ability to challenge that, but at the very least, there have to be individual sub-hearings with regard to each individual right, because it's potentially very prejudicial to our client for the department to say, well, we've conducted a hearing on this right, so we've got a determination that material injury applies to all these other rights as well. And we don't think that complies with due process or equal protection, and we have major concerns about that. So with that, I'll stop talking. Thank you.
And Scott, I assume that you'll provide a bibliography of the citations to rules that you rattled off?
In the motion.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can repeat them if you'd like.
Well, we can pull them off. I came more quickly than I could write them down.
Well, if you'd like me to repeat it, I can.
No, that's fine. Well, maybe that's a good lead-in. So let me talk about just some general, in response to what Scott has said, let me talk just generally about two or three general broad ideas. One is we anticipate that there probably will be two staff memorandums that the department will request or the director will request of staff to prepare. One will be a memorandum that describes points of diversion, measuring devices, method of diversion for each water right that is identified in the delivery call, Scott. So, and honestly, staff has begun the evaluation of those water rights and those points of diversion right now. There's been some coordination between staff and the water master, just looking at each right, and then not only a description of the points of diversion, measuring devices, and method of delivery, but also a description of how the water, the various sources of water that the particular individual might be entitled to at that point of diversion, or individuals, water right holders, as well as a narrative of how those sources of water are delivered. In other words, ahead of the point of diversion, how that water is conveyed, perhaps through multiple conveyance works to that point of diversion. So there's at least one of the components I think you were talking about. It doesn't resolve everything.
Well, Mr. Director, that brings up another issue, however, because under our reading of the rules of procedure, the participation by staff in that kind of process needs to be very carefully segregated from you, assuming you're going to be the hearing officer in this matter. And your letter already indicated on March 20th that if Mr. James, on behalf of his clients, have any concerns or questions about a number of issues identified in the request for information, that he should contact Tim Luke or you. And fundamentally, due process, I think, is compromised when that occurs. Now, I'm not saying that you would do something wrong. Far be it for me to say that. But this procedure needs to be clarified in writing by you before we move much farther along. That's the concern we have. The department has its own rules. Those rules we perceive are not being followed in every instance, in part because the petitioner has ignored them, and in part because the department is trying to accommodate the petitioner's need to proceed. I don't want to argue the whole motion here, but those are very fundamental concerns for my client.
I want to be slow to react, Scott. I guess I choose to disagree with you to some degree. I don't think the mere fact that the letter states that I should be contacted or Tim Luke should be contacted shows that there's any loss of objectivity in the process or any infusion of bias or, you know, out of, I forget the Latin term now, but conversations with one party or the other. I think that's a responsibility of the hearing officer and the responsibility of staff to determine the appropriateness of those things. I mean, if he wanted to contact me about a procedural matter that had no factual basis in the discussion, then I don't see that that's problematic. So those ex parte or those communications, the determination of whether it's ex parte or not, I don't think I have a responsibility to spell that out very in detail in some kind of word. But I'm happy to take the motion in. But what I wanted to do is at least tell you that staff are anticipating the request, and I'll make that request formally for a staff memorandum. And we would anticipate the completion of that a couple of months after Mr. James submits the information that's been requested. And I think there's a deadline for submittal of the information. And I think that deadline is near the 20th of June or somewhere in that time frame. So, so what I want to do is get out ahead and at least have that information available to the parties. Now, the other staff memorandum that I anticipate requesting is a staff memorandum from technical staff that discusses the information that the department has in its records. And this may be data, this may be studies, this may be department technical staff opinion about certain either hydraulic connection matters or hydrology in some way, and how that information then might be used in determining material injury and probably also in determining how any curtailment order might affect the various junior water users. So I anticipate requesting both of those staff memoranda and requesting them to be submitted somewhere around the middle of August. That's what I anticipate. And so you'll shortly see some kind of a request as provided for in the department's rules of procedure that asks staff for the memorandum or memorandums or memoranda that I have described. Okay, and Fritz.
Director, for the record, Fritz Hammerly representing AF Trust, Payne Trust, and Smith. I'm wondering why you've decided to ask for those staff memorandum sort of at the front end of this particular case, as opposed to the Rangan case where the parties were allowed to do discovery. And I think recognizing the senior's burden, at least moving forward, why have you taken a different tactic in this case of kind of having staff get active with issuing those staff memorandums at the front end of the case? And if you're going to do that, are the staff memorandums, when they evaluate individual beneficial use, or are you going to make waste determinations in those evaluations as well?
Yeah, my take is probably not. I guess I don't understand why you think this is a departure from what we've done before.
I mean,
it is consistent.
No, well, in the Rangan case, for example, you had a lot of expert, you know, you had identification of experts, you had depositions of experts, you had the parties issuing expert reports, and then and only then did you issue staff reports, which clearly everyone found to be helpful, because I think they were, and it's a good idea. But then thereafter, the experts have the ability to file any kind of reply report that they wanted to, based on whatever staff reports you obtained. So it's kind of a departure in procedure in this case. You know, I don't think asking for the staff reports is a departure, and I think it's a good idea, but it's well before the parties have been able to do any kind of, you know, thoughtful discovery. And I think it's their burden to get together their beneficial use, and, you know, we need a lot of time to inquire into that. So I don't know if the department intends to do a lot of the work for the seniors in that respect, or what the issue is and why there's a change, because I know you didn't do that in the Rangan case, so I'm not being critical, I'm just trying to understand.
No, and I guess my memory of that procedure is not as good as yours. I know what we wanted to do, honestly, was prepare the information for the parties far enough in advance that they had it in their hands. Some of what we're doing here, honestly, and it's different, I think, than the Rangan matter, because we have a very scattered group of points of diversion and numerous water rights. And rather than, at least with respect to the first staff memorandum that I talked about, the department is probably more familiar with those and through the water master than all of the users would be or could become acquainted through a discovery process. And so my thought was it would be helpful at least for the department to describe what it knows and what it has in its records for the benefit of the parties going forward. But we're not attempting through that to make anything or conclude anything from it other than to say this is what's on the ground for everybody. And what I'm doing, honestly, is to try to promote some efficiency in the process. So in that way, maybe it's a departure, but that departure is probably because of the difference in facts, both spatially and the number of points of diversion that we're looking at, where Rangan was more concentrated.
Well, the problem comes up when there's so many senior callers. I mean, in the Rangan case, we had probably 2 weeks on the beneficial use alone on one caller. So, you know, the ability of these juniors to evaluate beneficial use on that's going to be, I think, fairly monumental.
I think that's a fair comment. But I'll come back to it and say at least with respect to Tim Luke's memorandum, describing the system, describing the points of diversion, and describing what's there.
Will that include current use or measurements, if they're available over a course of years, of what's been used?
Yeah, we haven't gotten that deeply into it, but my intent is at least to provide the information to the parties so that it's in one place. I'll have to look and see what comes in from Mr. James, or we will. And by the way, I should say staff will. Scott, for your benefit, I'm being too loose, but I don't intend to be involved in that evaluation. Generally, what happens with the staff memorandum is I sort of stay out of it and say, here are the broad subjects I want you to address, and then I essentially take what I get. I'm not involved in the editing or the writing of it at all.
Thank you, Director.
So again, we're trying to get out to the parties the information that we have, and then from there it may require some additional discovery or analysis. I don't know, but we talked to department staff even this morning and said, when is the soonest that you can get this done with a reasonable time to put the information together? Now, the other staff memorandum that I asked for or intended to ask for would be different than what we saw, at least initially, in the Rangan matter, because it will not have the same level of detail. In other words, some of the other staff memorandum or staff memoranda that I have requested in the past in these in these delivery calls have actually been numerical analyses of model results and actually detailing what the outputs are. And I don't anticipate that kind of detail.
My only comment is I think the staff reports you're anticipating are just going to scratch the surface of the relevant issues, and then it's going to take a while and a long time to evaluate each individual beneficial use to see if they're using it in a wasteful manner or not. That is going to be a long process. And I think that the juniors have the full right to make a full determination of that use. And it's going to be a long time.
I agree. And I agree that Scott's comments are legitimate. And yet there's a tension that I have to deal with. And I guess I'll give... And you've been on the other side of that tension, Fritz. I know you have.
I know.
And the tension really is that I need to give the parties full opportunity to prepare, but the courts have also told me that I have a responsibility to expeditiously conduct a hearing so that the allegations of the senior can be addressed. So there's the real tension that I'm facing. And what I said before is that I intend to hold a hearing in time for me to decide, write a decision by the next irrigation season. I don't think that I can push this out, or I think I'll be subject to the other side of the court saying you haven't afforded the senior the rights that they have to call and have that call be timely evaluated and responded to. So there's the tension I'm suffering or dealing with. And I don't know whether you want to respond to that, Joe, but...
And Director, I think you're, our primary concern is the Director recognizes that both case law and the rules provide that it has to be handled expeditiously. I think at the status conference, the Director indicated intent that he wanted to get a decision out prior to the next water year, set a tentative... objective holds.
Speak up, please.
Here, let me give you that. I apologize. I should have given it.
Well, and again, just to recap or restate what I said, I think the Director's right in his acknowledgement that he has to act expeditiously. Our goal would be to have the hearing prior and a decision issued prior to the next water year. I believe the status conference. The Director indicated his intent was to hold the hearing sometime between the period of October and December of this year. We concur with that. I understand that there's information that has to be gone through. We'll do our best to provide that and act expeditiously ourselves. But I think that's where we're at. I mean, I think we got to have a decision before the next water.
Mr. Director.
Yeah, Mike.
A couple things. On the staff memoranda, the concern that Mike Creamer for City of Haley and the Valley Club, the concern that my clients would have about any staff memoranda is that they'd be very much limited to compilations summaries of information that may be provided by the petitioners and information that the department may have in its records, and not reach any conclusions on issues of whether there's waste, whether there's material injury, whether those kind of ultimate issues that are for the trier of fact, because we don't want to have to be litigating an issue not only with petitioners, but with the department staff and the department itself on those kinds of issues. So I would caution the Director not to have request any types of conclusions about interconnection, injury, shortages, and those types of things. Those are the ultimate issues that we should have the opportunity to present through expert reports and determine our positions through discovery. in response to the Mr. James's comments about the and your suggestion at the status conference that this ought to be held between October and December. I know I initially at the status conference suggested that I didn't see this happening. A hearing could happen until the beginning of next year, and I've reconsidered that. I want to withdraw that. I don't see a meaningful hearing could be held until mid next year. After looking at the complexities, we don't know what groundwater rights, what surface water rights are in the same area that are subject to a call. We don't have a groundwater model, and if we did, it doesn't even encompass the area in which the calling seniors are located. We've got 60-some water right holders, 80-some individual water rights with complicated exchanges and other mixed sources. And if Mr. James is able to provide all of the information that the department has asked for all of these water right holders, and the submission is complete on June 20th, the department staff take 2 months to review that, and then the parties have an opportunity, if they were to go out and look at each one of these water rights every day of the week, they'd still take 2 months of discovery to understand those water rights, to begin to understand those. So I don't see how we can have a hearing before the end of this year. And I would remind the director and the parties that the Supreme Court has also made it clear that with the burden of proof of clear and convincing to make out their defenses set on the juniors, they have due process rights as well that can't be stepped on, but merely to expedite a delivery call that frankly could have been made last January, could have been made last year. And if they've chosen to bring the call when they do and create a situation, they could have waited, I suppose, until October. Would the director still feel that he'd have to reach a decision before the next irrigation season? We can't let that decision drive the due process or drive due process out of the process.
Okay. Well, I wished I'd have thrown out a date before Mike withdrew his suggestion. Then I should have at least relied on him and say, concurring with Mike Kramer, I suggest the following date. So let me throw some out and I want you to reserve them, because I think we can talk about this for a long time, but let's at least reserve some dates. So I'm looking at January 11th through the 22nd. And I'm just trying to figure out, once I hold a hearing, how long it will take me to get something out pre-irrigation season. And that irrigation season comes fairly early and seems to come a little earlier every year. And so, at least tentatively, I want you to reserve those dates for hearing. So I know there are those here who think that's not enough time to prepare, but Mike, even if I went through what you suggested and you needed 2 months of discovery, if we have staff memoranda in place by mid-August, that puts us in mid-October, and we're still 3 months out, essentially, from start time for hearing. Now, I know there will be a desire to depose witnesses and for additional discovery. But it seems to me that I've got to push it back from that October to December time, just looking at what happened. And there may be matters that come up that could cause more delay, but at least right now I want to at least try to move forward. So, Jim.
Jim's back. I'm here on behalf of numerous clients in both the Liquid River Drainage and Consumer Drainage. And like Scott, although I've been practicing in the water rights field for as long as I can remember, this is my first chance at the levy call proceeding under these conjunctive management rules. I echo what both Fritz Hammerly and Mike Kramer said, and as my concerns for the time it's going to take to do this process. But I would like to ask a couple of things. One is the outcome of this hearing, or hearings, whatever it is, I assume is going to be some kind of a curtailing order. Is that correct? Either there's no curtailment or curtailment of some kind. And assuming there is curtailment of some kind, then don't you have to quantify in some way the material injury to do that?
Sure.
And if so, how is it possible to quantify that without the model that's under construction?
Well, I understand what you're saying. The information that we got the last meeting was that it would be final as of the end of the year. And my understanding in talking to staff is that they will at least be able to do some simulations. I recognize that your expert witnesses may want to be involved in that as well. But I guess I'd ask the reverse rhetorical question, Jim. If we were a year behind where we are now in model development and I receive a delivery call, do I then say to the seniors, you're not entitled to pursue a delivery call until the model is complete? I don't think I can tell them that. I think I have a responsibility to forward the information that I have.
Well, as Mike said, you also have a responsibility to allow the juniors the use of all possible tools that would become available to them. That's not the case here. We have a situation where the model will be done at the end of this year. If we have a hearing in January, that doesn't give us enough time to work with that model and use it in a reasonable way for the hearing. I have one other question.
Okay.
It seems to me that one of the first, so far these two cases have gone in lockstep. But in looking at Tim's slide as to the location of the wells and the location of the points of diversion of the culverts, it doesn't make sense. Because, for example, if you have a well up in the Ketchum Haley area, anywhere in there, and the entire depletion from the pumping of that well is stopped in the Big Wood River. It's not in the Little Wood River. Then why would that owner of that well have to participate in the Little Wood River call? And vice versa, if you have a well down along Silver Creek, where the depletion clearly fell in Silver Creek and doesn't come anywhere close to the Big Wood River, why would that well user have to participate in the Big Wood River call? Because as Fritz mentioned, evaluating those water rights is going to be time consuming and for us expensive in terms of the involvement of expert witnesses. And the folks need to know what rightful expenses should they be sharing. So when is that determination going to be made?
Well, right now, Jim, the cases are consolidated. That's the way you list it. And they were consolidated because of at least an initial perception and determination that there were sufficient common issues of fact and law that they should be connected. It doesn't mean to say that you can't move to have them bifurcated somehow. And I'm willing to consider that kind of motion or request. We're just trying to analyze right now what those are, at least initially. The determination was that they were common interests of fact and law that were significant enough that they ought to be heard together.
So the burden will be on us to get the cases split off and the water users identified for each prescriptive procedure.
Yeah.
Okay. That answers my question.
Okay. Chris?
Oh. As long as you're here.
Yeah, sure.
Director Chris Bromley for City of Bellevue, and I would just note that in every delivery call we've had with use of a model, we've had model buses that have required everybody to go back to the drawing board. That's happening in the Surface Water Coalition. It's happening in Rangan. And I guess I would just caution that we not hold a hearing out ahead of being able to test the model so that we, and this cuts both ways. I mean, this cuts in favor of the senior and potentially cuts in favor of the junior, but we don't know until we've actually been able to run it, simulate it, see where the potential busts are, and then we're going to have to come back to hearing, presumably, in the summer. And I don't know that that's a good use of time. So I would just caution the director to, and I'm undoubtedly you've thought about it, about the past experiences that we've had with technical models and the breaks in data that often are experienced. That's just a statement, Director. The question I would have then on the staff memo or memos is, are you anticipating issuing an order requesting the staff prepare memos, or would this be by a letter that the parties can see? You've outlined it verbally as to what you're requesting, but there does seem to be benefit in my mind that prior to staff analyzing information that's given to them by the seniors, but they also have the information that the juniors have been able to assemble so that they have a full panoply of information in front of them and they're not drawing inferences in favor of one party or the other.
Well, yeah, that's a legitimate, I guess, a legitimate statement. Let me see if I can pick these off one at a time. We continue to talk about Rangan, I guess, as an example or sort of a surrogate. I guess I want to go back and at least recreate in my memory what happened and why. And Mr. Hammerly probably remembers this, Fritz, better than the rest of us. But the senior water right holder, Rangan Inc., was asking for immediate relief and demanding that the director hold a hearing. And as I recall, what I said was, well, we have a model right now that we are using. It's model version 1.1. We are willing to go forward with what we have, even though there's another model in development. And so the choice was posed to Rangan about, and the choice was, do you want to go forward? Because I have a responsibility, again, as I said before, to respond to the call from a senior. And I don't want to mischaracterize this, Fritz, but then maybe I ought to give you the opportunity.
May I speak?
Sure.
I don't need that. I can speak without that. Director, what I'm concerned about is I understand I was on the opposite side of the equation in Rangan, but what I am is a total advocate for Blaine County. And I keep getting the sense that the state is willing to do things differently in Blaine County to the detriment of the juniors that they are unwilling to do in other cases. And that's my perception, and that's honest perception. If you roll out a model late this year and then use that model for a hearing in January is absolutely ludicrous. What happened in Rangan was you said, Rangan, you can go forward on 1.0, but the state knew and you knew that prior directors deemed Rangan's call to be futile under 1.0. So what are we left to do? So then you said, Rangan, you can do that or you can wait till 2.2 comes out. So we did, and that took about a year and a half. And as you know, once it was rolled out initially, Chris is right, there were problems with the model, as there always are. But then to say that it's fair for you to roll out the model late in the year
and then expect all our experts to review it honestly, that is a deprivation of due process. It's absolutely unfair. And I know that you know you can't evaluate a groundwater model in 2 weeks and then go to a hearing. Can't be done. And really, that deprives all of us in Blaine County our due process rights.
Yeah, so I appreciate the argument. What I want to go back, I just wanted to make sure that Chris Bromley's comments were not misinterpreted, because there were some delays in implementing 2.1, but there was also, as part of that discussion, a discussion with Rangan about whether they wanted to expedite and go forward, or whether they wanted to wait until that model was complete and adopted. And Rangan chose to wait.
Director, you said that we couldn't move forward on the model until you kind of said it's a go. That's what happened. That's what happened.
No, I won't argue with you. But at that fulcrum, there was a choice. And that's what I was talking about earlier, and that is that the senior had the ability to come in and say, I want you to move forward, Director. And that's the only point I was trying to make. Yeah, Ed.
Gary Evan Robertson from Sun Valley Water and Sewer District. Was it only the senior's option to wait for the model in that case? And are you saying in this case we don't have the option as juniors to have an opportunity to see what that model is actually going to say?
Now, what I'm saying is that if the senior had the opportunity to say, I will delay, otherwise I felt an obligation to move forward. And that's the only point that I'm trying to make.
For the due process to the senior, but yeah. The due process to the juniors, do they not have the same option? A reasonable delay in time to see the model.
Well, I think the argument's a legitimate one, at least.
Yeah. I try this twice.
John.
Yeah. Gary, John Simpson from Barker, Rothschild & Simpson, or Al Barker and other clients that the firm has. If you recall, going back even further in time, I mean, there was a point before even the surface water call where the senior was really precluded from making a call, if you will, or had an even higher burden because we didn't have a model. And until the model was completed, 1.0 was completed on the ESPA, there wasn't the ability to even go forward with even a really representative call because we couldn't identify which wells were impacting which springs or which reef gains. And we didn't have the technical information available to the department and to the parties to even put before a hearing officer.
And I won't question your interpretation or your memory of history. It certainly is better than mine is. But I also will state that there's a lot of precedent and a lot of water under the bridge since those initial determinations. And you've been in the middle of a lot of those, John, so I'm not sure that those same standards apply to those.
I would agree because it's been a moving standard. The surface water call the department made the determination of material injury. At that point, then either side could make a petition to the department for a formal hearing. That process has changed over time, if you will, to now in Reagan, where no determination was made until the hearing was conducted. So it's been a moving target for everyone, including the department, in how that process could go forward.
Scott.
I apologize. I didn't know that I was entitled to ask questions of you. Pardon me. This is very short, I hope. To follow up on Chris Bromley's point, about the preparation of a staff report or staff reports. Is that order going to identify the parameters for the staff to conduct conversations, information exchanges with the senior water right owners? Because if it doesn't, and the staff just goes about willy-nilly talking to these people and going on site without notice to the junior water users, We have a problem with that because it appears to be a circumstance whereby the seniors can provide certain information, but the juniors can't rebut that information. So again, the procedure in this case, I think, is very, very important, and we'll address that in our motion as well if we don't get an order before then.
There's a portion of Chris Bromley's question that I didn't address, and Scott reminds me. When I request staff memorandum or a staff memorandum, I just issue that as a request. I think I don't recall whether it has a case heading on or not. It's not issued as an order, but the request is distributed to all the parties so that you know what's out there and the specific information that I'm asking for and the questions that I ask is all contained in the document. Now, Scott, what you're asking for, in my opinion, goes beyond the standards for communication of department staff with the various parties, whether they're experts or whatever else, that we followed in previous delivery calls and in previous contested cases. In my opinion, the ex parte communication rule applies to the tribunal and does not apply to staff that are preparing the memorandum if the person is. Because we have always communicated with the experts.
It doesn't make it right. I mean, it doesn't make it right. Just because you've done it that way, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that's an issue in terms of issue.
Well, you can argue it.
I will.
But if you want to turn around and argue that both the director and the hearing officer, or one and the same, as well as all staff of the department are prevented from talking or conversing with any of the representatives of the parties without all of the other party representatives being there, I can't go there. I mean, department staff have to be able to interact with them. Mr. Bross.
I'm Director Fred Brossi. I'm a water user. I'd like to return to Mr. Simpson's point, because we could be here for years to satisfy the junior's request that had just come up today, but proving material injury on the senior's part could happen before all this other discovery and proof of who's causing the injury. We're not saying at this point who's causing our injury. We're just saying we're injured, and we can prove that in a reasonable time frame. So I think you might consider going back to the original style of the surface coalition call, if that is allowable, so that at least part of the case could be made and said.
Thank you.
John?
Mr. Hearing Officer, and John Simpson, and I think to perhaps Scott's question about participation, in the surface water call, there's been occasions where the experts have gotten together with department staff and people were provided notice. And it seems, from my perspective, it's pretty clear that you've identified a hearing date time frame, if you will. And you're going to be working backwards from that time frame. At least, from my perspective, notice being provided that the department is going to talk with the senior water rights holders to understand their system and other questions are going to be asked. Notice so that if others want to attend those meetings, you may not then have duplication going on in terms of the same questions being asked or supplemental discovery being propounded and other issues out there like that. That, at least from an efficiency standpoint, folks have the ability to prepare.
That's well said, and I just don't see that I can issue some sort of order prohibiting staff from communicating with representatives of the various parties without having given notice. That's just too onerous. I don't think I can do that. Sorry, Scott.
Commissioner?
Yes, Mr. Spackler. Yeah. So, Larry Schoen, I'm a water user. I'm also here, you know, observing on behalf of my county as a commissioner. I'd like to ask a question if I could. I'm not an attorney. I'm not
familiar with all the details of these calls, but I am interested in who is affected by the calls. And, you know, there's been a lot of, we've been talking about the value of the model, but we do know some things about the way surface water and groundwater moves in our basin. So is it, and I haven't really been involved in a water call like this before, but I'm used to simply being shut off as a junior user. In a case like this, my question is it a class of users who are affected, or is it all of those who are junior to the senior rights holders who are issuing the call, whose use of water might affect those senior users? So that, for example, if you have a senior downstream user who is senior, those who are upgradient, who using water upstream, who are junior, all not just groundwater, but senior, but surface water users as well, are subject to the call. So it's by priority date, as well as it, assuming the department in making a decision like a curtailment order would be able to say that your use of water in point A upstream affects the downstream senior users' water. So we're not just talking about groundwater users because they are generally junior, but all those users who are junior are subject to this. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not sure I can answer all of your question, and some of it is I don't know the relationships right now. I don't know who's junior. I don't know who's senior. But
well, maybe let me see if I can explain. You know, I see because my friend Fritz is shaking his head no. Like, how can I not know this? You know, my concern is...
He may be shaking his head at me, Larry.
Oh, well, my concern is, you know, who is affected by these calls? And I think, you know, because this is a big call by a coalition of downstream users, Bigwood and Littlewood, you know, kind of grouped together, although there's two cases. And, you know, I'm just trying to get at who is affected. So, you know... For example, I'm concerned, you know, on the basis of seniority. That's one relationship, one being junior to the other. And I'm concerned on the basis, you know, that the model raises, which is if you're a groundwater user below the point at which the Bigwood is a gaining reach, how can your groundwater use below that point affect users below Magic on the Bigwood? If you're, you know, in that area, you're not. You know, you're a groundwater user in an area where groundwater is not flowing into Silver Creek. You know, so there's different ways to slice it, so to speak. You know, if I could draw a diagram, I could illustrate it. And so I'm, you know, again, just looking at the list of people who are making this call and the nature of these two coalitions, just trying to get a better handle on who's affected by this. People want to know.
And I don't know the answer.
Because there's no model.
And we won't unless there's a model that's been subjected to scrutiny. Well, maybe. I mean, there is a remote possibility that the model's not even necessary. I'm not trying to be smug. I'm just saying.
Well, there's two, if I could, you know, there's two, again, I guess I'm repeating myself, but there's sort of two framework that I'm thinking about at the moment. One is that one of seniority. Are all junior users subject to a call by all senior users? And the other is connectivity, I guess.
Sure, but those are factual matters that need to be presented at the hearing, become part of the evidence, and then there's a determination of those issues after the hearing is conducted. I don't know how to answer it any better than that. Jim.
Yes, Jim Snyk again. I think the concern, that at least the second part of the concern Larry just expressed, is part of what I asked, the second part of my question.
And
maybe to try to get some clarification. First of all, this is, or these are calls under Rule 40. Is that correct? Can we all agree that that's the case today?
Yeah, and I don't have the rules in front of me, but I'm assuming that Rule 40 is the rule that is a call within a water district.
Correct. So the first subpart under Rule 40 is when a delivery call is made by a senior against junior groundwater users in an area of common groundwater supply within an organized water district. What we're struggling with here is we don't have the first part of that. We don't have an area of common groundwater supply, which is basically what Larry was asking for and what I'm asking for. In other words, is the groundwater where wells up in the Bigwood, northern part of the Bigwood River depleting, is that a common groundwater supply to the Littlewood River? In my mind, that doesn't make any sense at all. But Mr. James didn't have the benefit of that, so he simply made a call against all the groundwater rights in District 37. But at some point, this needs to be, I guess, are you, is that a determination you're intending to make? And if so, when and how?
Well, I have some acquaintance with the subject in the area of common groundwater supply, just because it was a subject before the legislature this year. There's only one area of common groundwater supply that's been recognized, at least in the conjunctive management rules, which is the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer. And what we represented, at least to the legislature, when we were talking about this subject this year, is that the area of common groundwater supply would be determined through the hearing process. Now, Jim, if you feel that we should not be proceeding under Rule 40 because there has not yet been a determination of an area of common groundwater supply, and I haven't heard this argument previously, but if that's an issue that you want to raise, you're welcome to raise it.
Well, I'm not sure if that's how I meant to characterize it. What yeah. I was trying to get at was for my clients to get them isolated in either one call or another, rather than having to spend time, effort, and money on analyzing beneficial use water rights from a source if they're not connected.
Thank you very much. That exact issue is one that will be addressed in the motion because, frankly, the way the rules read, I don't believe that you can even proceed under Rule 40 without having the preconditions of Rule 30 satisfied. The way the rules are structured, it says, in order to proceed with a conjunctive management delivery call, a petition has to be filed that contains these elements. And then you go through a hearing process, and then you make a determination in the hearing as to whether or not there's an area of common groundwater supply, and then you can proceed under Rule 40. So I would respectfully disagree with Mr. Steck and your characterization. I don't think you can get to Rule 40 without going through Rule 30 and the other rules as well.
Okay. Other comments? Chris.
Since you're over here again, I have to walk around. Chris Bromley.
You want to move to the other side of the galaxy.
City of Bellevue. Director, if I could just make one comment just to preserve a record. I do have concerns on behalf of the city if the staff memo or staff memorandum request comes via a letter and the extent to which that can be reviewed by other parties for clarification purposes. For instance, in your letter that you sent to the seniors, item number 16 really does go to the ultimate issue of fact for which the department is supposed to, or you as the hearing officer would be deciding, which would be material injury. The second staff memorandum that you described seems to go to the same question. And I just think it would be cleaner if your request came in the form of an order. That way we all understand, to Scott's point about procedural questions, procedurally we know how to review an order, and I do have questions about review of a letter. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate his letter. I don't think I characterized it that way. It was just a request to staff.
it would be on the case heading, and it would go to all the parties. I don't really have a problem with putting that in order form if that's the way you want. I don't know that we have requested staff memoranda through an order in the past, but I think that's a procedural matter of insignificance, I guess. I don't, for me, and if it's important to the parties, I don't have a problem with requesting a memorandum or memoranda in an order form. So I don't have a problem with that. Is there somebody, John? Microphone, by the way.
I prefer not. Okay. But, Mr. Director, I'll speak up. With respect to the issue that Jim Speck raised regarding, I'll call it connection, or area of inclusion, if you will, is that an area that you envision the second memorandum identifying? You talk about hydrology and connection. Will there be at least, if you will, conclusions by staff regarding the areas of inclusion with respect to each of the delivery calls that have been made, so that, as Jim said, folks can look at those, that memoranda, and determine whether there's grounds to ask for exclusion or clarification regarding particular involvement in both of the cases or consolidated case, if you will?
Let me tell you what I just generally think that technical memorandum will be, and this is an oxymoron anyway, because I call it a technical memorandum, but I think it will be a qualitative discussion, largely, of the relationships, hydraulic and hydrologic relationships, and won't be quantitative in nature. In other words, it's a basis, technically, to build upon and perhaps challenge, if the parties want to, but at least it lays out the opinions of department technical staff related to those relationships. So, and honestly, it may be that at some point in time, department staff may need to issue some secondary memorandum. I don't know the answer. But I wanted to get that information out to the participants as soon as possible. Okay, other matters we want to talk about? Questions, issues? I've got a whole bunch of them. Yeah.
Okay. Director Spackman, I'm Lou Anderson. I'm representing the District 37B groundwater users.
Yeah.
We have concerns along the same lines as Mr. Speck about inclusion in both calls. And then also in our area, there's not only is there not an almost complete groundwater study model, but there is no groundwater model, which is also a concern of ours. And I'm just wondering how that was going to play out going forward. If we needed to have representation and file a motion to be excluded from the Littlewood, which makes all the sense in the world to me, I can see no way we could be included in that or have any relevance to that. And how the lack of any groundwater model in our area might affect the outcome.
I don't know how to answer that question about whether you need to seek representation or not right now. I mean, that's a question you need to answer yourself. But the issue that you're raising is a good one, and it relates to the concerns that Mr. Speck has raised as well. I don't know what else to say. Mr. James, you've heard a lot from the other side.
You wish to respond, and then I had some other scheduling matters I wanted to talk to or talk about. I'm almost tempted right now to tell you to reserve the dates I've talked about and wait for the motions to come in and just talk about any limitations on discovery at the present time, because Mr. James, you at least filed a motion, but Scott, I understood you wanted to file a response.
Definitely. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And Director, I guess I was prepared to comment on the discovery issues, but I think you're right at this point. We're going to have some response to my motion for protective order, that being the only discovery request at this time. I think it'd be appropriate and I'll wait to see the response.
Okay. Well, I was prepared to talk about discovery to some degree, at least right now. Well, maybe I better leave it alone.
Mr. Director?
Yeah, Mike.
I think I have some, maybe some innocuous discovery comments, suggestions that there are a large number of parties, and obviously the service list is very large. I think there's potential to avoid what Mr. James might find to be overwhelming discovery served on him if all of us, you know, took an opportunity to serve our own interrogatories. And at the same time, it could be pretty burdensome for all the parties to have to then serve hard copies of discovery responses and discovery requests. I'm wondering if we could talk about maybe some electronic transmission service and how we might do that to minimize the paperwork, have the department serve as perhaps a clearinghouse where discovery responses and requests can be put on an FTP site or something where the parties would have access to those and there wouldn't necessarily be duplicative discovery requests served, and everyone could make use of that information. I thought that might be something we could talk about.
Yeah, I think this subject is one that perhaps needs to be initiated by the parties themselves. We're happy to facilitate some agreement by the parties, but at least right now, from my perspective, discovery ought to follow as closely as possible our rules of procedure. And at least I was prepared to say today the rules of civil procedure, at least to start with. And then let's see if there's some further limitation or enlargement that needs to be implemented. But Mike, you're suggesting something, but not a procedure to get there. So what are you suggesting? That we talk about it right now and that the parties agree to something?
Well, it might be something we can talk about now and agree to. I don't know what else is on your agenda today, Mr. Director, or the parties, what their thoughts are about that. But I wanted to put that out there that if whether it's done by a stipulation or agreement with the department, I think it could save us all a lot of time, effort.
Well, I will tell you that I came prepared, or at least thinking, that I would talk about setting deadlines for submittal of various documents, disclosure of witnesses, deadlines for filing of motions, and all of the common kinds of scheduling deadlines that we build into a pre-hearing order of some type, or a scheduling order. But based on what's been said here, it seems to me it may be premature for me to try to wrangle those dates and get the parties to agree on them, given the number of possible motions and other matters that we need to consider. So I think it might be premature and probably a waste of the participants' time for me to force that discussion unless the parties want to go through it today. And I don't want to do that. What I want to do is at least is reserve some dates. And we may end up moving those, I don't know, based on what comes in. But I need to be out ahead of that reservation somehow, so that at least you're aware of the time frame that I'm looking at. Excuse me. Yes, Scott.
Mr. Director, can we expect to receive the order on the staff reports before the expiration of 2 weeks so we can address that in our motion? Or?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you can expect to see it in the next week, maybe less than that.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of the other subjects that I wondered about, and
we can go back to Mike's inquiry,
but one of the other subjects that I wondered about is whether, and I almost hate to broach this subject, whether some discussion and determination of the respective burdens of the participants might be helpful. And I almost hate to go there right now, but we danced around that subject here, and which subjects and issues the juniors bear the burden, and the burden of clear and convincing evidence. I think there are other issues in this that in a delivery call for which that standard may not apply, and honestly, I think there are also issues for which the senior bears the burden of coming forward with certain information and making a show. So I don't know. In some ways, I hesitate to broach that question. Scott?
Mr. Director, I think that's an excellent point. I think that it should be addressed by you as the director in an order. But this is how you perceive the burdens, the shifting, the responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera. Because otherwise, we're all saying, well, we read this space this way, and that means this. And so if you set it forth in an order, that would really be helpful.
Interlocutory, of course. Right?
Yes, of course. Of course. Or a locutory order, I don't care.
Okay. Do the participants want to talk about Mike Kramer's suggestion about discovery? Or is this something you want to talk about amongst yourselves and come back to me? And it might be just what we do. We really have that conversation during the period of time that the answers are coming in. And what deadlines are you facing for discovery in responding? Joe? Well, you've got one set of interrogatories. At least that's what I've heard.
Right, and just...
22nd is the deadline.
Right, and that's...
When?
June 22nd. We filed them on the 19th of May.
Okay.
And, Director, maybe some of the attorneys in the room weren't aware that we did file a request for a scheduling order and protection order on discovery. We just filed that yesterday. In that, we proposed some parameters. We did it in response to the request for discovery we did receive, but it did set out our thoughts on what appropriate discovery order would look like. I have a list of counsel now, and I certainly don't mind getting on the phone and seeing if we can come to some agreement. You know, one of our big concerns is asking the same question propounded by 40 other individuals again and again and again. Anyway, I just wanted to bring it to attention that that is on the web page. We did stick it in the mail yesterday. You should get it, and as soon as you get it, I'd sure like and be willing to talk to you on perhaps coming to an agreement as far as a discovery schedule.
Is Joseph's suggestion acceptable? Prince?
I don't actually know what he's proposing. It seems odd that you want an expedited hearing but are seeking protection orders on discovery. It can't happen that way. There's going to be a lot of discovery, Director. And what seems to be different in this case is that it appears the department is making extra efforts, I think, to assist the seniors where they didn't do that particularly in our case. Particularly your discussion of burdens, you know, you left that up to the parties and all the case law that was being developed at the time and pretty much threw it out there saying, you go figure it out, and we did. And there's a lot of orders out there. So it seems like in this particular case, there's a lot more effort from the department to assist the seniors in doing a lot of their work that you didn't do in previous case, which is a little bit troublesome and from my standpoint. Again, they're going to be responding to a lot of discovery, particularly about their beneficial use, which all the juniors are entitled to. That's going to take months, Director. And then to flop out a groundwater model, say, here, have at it, and expect this to happen in January, What I would suggest, Director, strongly is perhaps you consider this as a dispositive deadline date, see how far you get, and then decide when you want to proceed on the factual issues. That makes a lot more sense, because if they're not prepared to respond to discovery and are seeking protection, this thing is not going to be tried in January.
What are you referring to as a dispositive deadline?
The January date that you set. Because I think there's going to be substantial dispositive motions in this case, and I think you've heard some of the issues which are going to come up.
Joe?
You're going to be inundated with discovery, Joe, and I guarantee you'll be the first one seeking continuance, because you won't be able to respond.
And I guess we'll take it as it comes. We're not attempting to avoid discovery. We're attempting to avoid duplicative discovery. And to give you an example, the director, his request for information, among other things, asked for the name and number of diversions for each water right. We get a request for discovery that asks the exact same thing. It's not that we're asking, hey, you can't ask your questions, you can't conduct depositions, you can't ask requests for productions. We're just asking that interrogatories be limited to that information that hasn't already been provided. It's not to answer the same question 50 times. It's written in a simply a different form. It's, hey, if that information's out there, it's out there. You know, in any event.
Asking a decent question, Joe, I'm not trying to be snarky, but, you know, your office is prepared to take, say, if you have 40 users, you're prepared to do 40 separate depositions on each particular user from here to January, and you're prepared to do that. After you respond to the written discovery.
Yeah, I'm not going to control what the other party does as far as depositions, but if they end up noticing multiple depositions, we'll have to accommodate them. If we can't, then we'll come for the director. But our goal for now is still to have the hearing so we can get a decision prior to the next water year.
I guess I want to just respond briefly to some of what Fritz commented on, and I don't want to get into an exchange about who was treated fairly and who's being treated unfairly and who's been giving deferential treatment. But I guess I will say that, as I said to Mr. Simpson, during all of these delivery calls, there's been a body of law that's been developed over time that's clarified, and we're still going through that process, that's clarified both the legal rights and obligations of the parties in terms of their burdens, but also is determining their rights and obligations under the law in general, under the prior appropriation doctrine. And my suggestion, and I said I was reluctant to broach the subject, but my suggestion about giving some direction is to try to at least go back and interpret what that body of law, developing body of law, tells us. And I guess I would just say, Fritz, I don't feel that there's any deference that's being shown. What I'm trying to do, honestly, is offer a process so that the parties can better understand at least what my expectations are. And frankly, I appreciate Rangan and the groundwater users' participation in the development of that body of law. And I'll tell everybody here that you did a great job in trying to assist in that. And it was expensive. But some of that's in place that we didn't have before. And I was simply trying to say, if we can set that out, maybe it's helpful so that everybody doesn't have to wrangle with it. Or at least that they know what those expectations are and then can struggle with whether my interpretation is correct. Scott?
If I may, Mr. Director, I
I didn't want to argue the motion that Mr. James filed, but he touched on some points that I feel incumbent upon me to respond to. First of all, we filed our discovery request before the department sent its letter. Okay, so we were first. Second of all, responding to discovery is not the same as responding to the department's request for information. Discovery rules provide for very specific criteria, providing for signed by the actual party responding, so that we are able to then use that information and rely upon that information for subsequent motions. So to say that we can rely upon what's deposited with the department for discovery purposes is a false assumption. The second part of it is, if he wants to comply with the department's request first, gather all that information, and then wait and then prepare his responses, we can work with him on that, but that's going to push out our discovery as a result. So he can't have it both ways. If we're going to be pushed to a hearing in January, we want timely responses. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure Mr. James recognizes the inherent conflict what he's filed and in his desire to move forward. Yes, my only comment, Scott, I think is consistent with what you said, and I guess I just say I'll be slow to respond to a motion to compel if it's filed on June 23rd.
I won't file it on June 23rd.
I'm being facetious with you. given what's in play right now, I know we have responses come in. I think there ought to be an opportunity for you to evaluate those and work with Joe on trying to figure out what to do. And I appreciate your offer to work with him. Yeah. Okay, other comments? Jim.
Yes, I don't need Mike, but this is just a minor request for clarification. That's the use of email. If we serve a document on another attorney or a party who's provided you with an email address, do we also have to mail it?
Well, to whom?
To that same party.
To the same party.
Yeah. Under the rules of civil procedure. Unless you have a stipulation.
I'm trying to get some other way around. Because my staff is yelling at me every time I come to them with a document that's got to go out to 80,000 people. By mail. And I guess the second part of that is, will you allow electronic filing, or do you want the original to follow electronic filing? That's certainly less of a burden on the parties for filing with the department, but it's the service on other parties that I'm concerned about.
Right now, I want an original paper copy to come in.
Okay. Then how about the service? I mean, Susan's correct that.
Well, let's follow the rules of civil procedure, and by saying that, I hope I'm creating a pressure on the parties to converse as suggested by Mike Kramer, and as also suggested, I think, by Joe James. If you want to work out something in the background for service to the parties, that's fine, and I'd be happy to sign an order that would recognize those streamlined processes. But at least with respect to filing with the department, I want to see the paper come in. And maybe that's just that I'm so old that I can just tell you when email comes into my email address, I treat it as a stepchild. I don't.
But that is.
And so that's.
We can have that discussion. I see little advantage to service by email if you have to turn around and mail this document to the same person.
Yeah, it's a good argument. Okay, any other matters to talk about? All right, thanks for coming. We'll look for the motions to come in. Guess I haven't decided on the issue of. And maybe it will be included in some of the motions to have some sort of determination from the director related to the respective burdens of the parties. Scott,
I could do that.
Okay. Chris?
Oh, I just to preserve a record, Director, the City of Bellevue certainly doesn't assent to the notion of having the director issue an order setting forth the department's views of the burdens. The case law is established, and believe it's in the party's interest to assert the burdens as they see fit.
Okay, and there's another view.
Thank you.
So I haven't determined whether to do that or not. I just threw it out. Again, as I said, I was reluctant maybe to raise the issue, but everybody had been talking about respective burdens of proof or burdens of coming forward with information. And maybe it's something to be left alone. Okay, thanks for coming today. We'll wait for the motion to come.